It's time now for Minnesota Reads. We have on the phone with us this morning author Quentin Skinner, who's written a novel called Odd One Out. It was published this year by Prospect Park Books. Good morning, Quentin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is a fascinating novel to me. I realized just in the first chapter, as the story unfolds, how very visceral it was to me, the way this story opens up. Pretty much with a slap in the face. It's not literally a slap in the face, but the child getting woken up, told from the child's perspective that the father is upset. The mother has left the home, and he and his three kids are there in the house, and he says, "Get in the car, let's go, we got to get after her." It's a very, for me, a very visceral kind of feeling of sudden panic and loss.
Well, it's really gratifying to hear you describe it that way. That was exactly the effect I was going for. And the idea was to sort of, mirror that feeling in childhood when there are these big tectonic adult things happening that seem to come out of nowhere. When you're a child, whereas, obviously from an adult perspective, you might have seen something like that coming. Although, in fairness, the father in the book doesn't see it coming either, and that's probably how you get that kind of panicky, visceral experience. I really wanted to make it a book you couldn't put down from the first page.
It's very funny that you mentioned that the father didn't see it coming, because, as you said, the way you've written the style, it's written from the middle child's point of view, but yet all three of the children, both the middle child and the older sister especially, are very fleshed out. They're very observant. They're very complex. And I think the older sister at one point in the car sort of calls out her father on this. And he's just saying, these things just sort of happen in relationships. And she says, no, Dad, there's something big that happened here. People don't just break up for no important reason. And she enumerates all these other parents of friends of hers who've split up for very obvious and big reasons. And she says, there's a big reason. And so I think that there's some observations from all the characters that you often take for granted, that kids aren't as complex as grown-ups, but they really are.
Yeah, they are. They're very, very observant, and I have children myself, and they may not have the formulations or the language, but they're obviously observing what's going on, and we remember that from our own childhoods. We're paying a lot of attention, and the first part of the book is narrated from a character who's about 12 or 13 years old, and he's obviously a lot more articulate, and his vocabulary is a little bit broader than your average child that age, a middle schooler. But obviously, he's recollecting that from a later period. So I kind of was able to fudge that vocabulary a little bit.
Well, yeah. At the same time, though, what he's saying in the room, in quotes, so to speak, are certainly a dialogue on one level, but then in the internal dialogue with himself as he's describing the narrative. As you say, even though they may not have the vocabulary at that age, those sort of emotions are still there. So I totally accepted that, the fact that it maybe felt like he was older than he was, because inside your head you're hearing things in more complex ways than you might say them out loud.
Yeah, and I sort of feel that, even when we're very young, there's a certain ageless voice that's going on in our heads, and there's a continuity. We're kind of the same person our whole lives. We just sort of inhabit it at different ages. So I really, having children myself, and sort of even when my children were 6 years old, I could see in their eyes, that there was a sort of eternal spirit in there that was really capable of understanding probably a lot more than we tend to give them credit for.
Hmm. And the different points of view I found interesting as well, especially because of that internal narrative that's going on, and the way that you're sort of thinking about many different things at the same time. And so often I'd be reading a paragraph and I'd read a sentence that was talking about what they're thinking, what they're seeing in the room, and then what they're worried about. They're three almost disparate thoughts, but really are all connected in some way, but they're sort of multitasking in their brain at the same time. It was a very interesting style.
Well, I appreciate that. What I was getting at in the bigger picture with the book, and it's reflected in the title, is the way that every family is a composite of multiple narratives. Mm. And whenever you're a member of a family, you sort of have this sense that you are experiencing just your timeline or your narrative. Everyone else's is going on at the same time, and we all have somewhat of an apprehension that our version of the story isn't quite complete, you know. And hence the title, The Odd One Out. I think every narrator in that book is trying to paint a complete picture of what happened with this family, but they also are aware, until the end, I think, the final sequence, they're all aware that they don't quite have the full picture.
Yeah, I think we often find that in our lives, that later on you learn what else was going on in the room of some memory you have. There were some other things happening. It's fascinating, I think, as people all grow and realize that, no, they weren't so narcissistic. You know, that really the room had more characters going on than just their own narrative. So,
yeah, I think at that point in my life I was sort of reflecting on that idea that you never really have the full picture of your place as a character in the larger story, and you sort of grope around in the dark for some sense of the meaning of your narrative and how it fits into those that you love.
Yeah, and I wonder that idea may not have worked as well in this book had you not had a few different points of view. If you'd stayed with one character with only his or her internal thinking as well as the dialogue in the room, you don't have, I think, as three-dimensional a picture as you'd have with three internal dialogues happening at different points in the story.
With my previous book, I wrote it in the third person, but I wrote it from the point of view of three to four different characters, depending on how you read it. And I think I fall back on that even when I'm writing in the first person, like I did with Odd One Out. I think my craft works for me when I'm able to access directly those different points of view. You just have to be disciplined about it. You know, you can't just do it because it suits your needs at the moment. I think when you get into that one point of view for a while, you got to hang with it and kind of explore it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Quentin Skinner, the author of Odd One Out. It's just published this year by Prospect Park Books. So now this book is out. Are you working on another one? Have you got another book in play?
I am working on another one. It's going slow.
no pressure.
Odd One Out, long story short, I thought I had completed it about 5 years ago, and then the book business decided otherwise, and I went through a significant revision process that spanned several years. Each book I write, Odd One Out is my third published book, and each time out it's taking longer. So I don't know, maybe by 2025 we'll have the new one. I hopefully sooner than that.
Yeah, well, as I say, no pressure. We're not going to force a book out of you. You don't have to be like Mozart writing a concerto on the carriage ride into Vienna. So you've got time. Well, thanks so much. We appreciate talking to you today, Quentin.
Yeah, thank you very much. This was fun.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Quentin Skinner, the author of Odd One Out, a novel published this year by Prospect Park Books. Minnesota Reads is produced at KMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.